bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for sticking with us on this Thursday morning. 251-340-106. That is the text line. That is the best way to get in touch with the program if you want to respond to anything we are discussing. We'll try to read your text. We're going to be wide open for the remainder of the show after our next guest, so make sure you utilize it. If you would. But joining us now on the program, always a pleasure to bring on the show. I think he's been on once before with us, but second time's a charm, as they say. State Representative Gil Isbell of Gadsden with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Before we get into lottery and gambling and all that, I was watching your appearance on Todd Stacey's program, Capital Journal, the other night. You are the guy behind a lot of some of these alcohol bills not to pigeonhole you there, but some of the things we've seen change in the mechanisms is how we can how one can obtain alcohol in this state. But you got a delivery bill through. You're working on some other things. Kind of walk us through some of those endeavors.
Oh, surely. You know, thankfully, I had worked on a bill for three sessions, and that was the home delivery, and basically, it's from grocery stores, convenience stores, of beer, wine, and spirits. And spirits was added last year because of the pandemic. And we had the full cooperation of ABC. We had most players at the table were very satisfied because it provides a service. It's from a safety issue, but also making it a convenience for individuals to receive wine, beer, and spirits, whether they're done sent with their groceries or if they're just sent from the package store, if somebody does have a license to do that. Now, this year, I've got a couple bills. One is just, it was more of a technical clarification for table wine. There was the on-premise and on and off-premise, but not the off-premise, as long as you would use a ABC-approved container to take the wine off-premise. So that was just really a clerical note. And the other one that I did, I worked on it last year and this year, it was the drive-through and walk-up bill. And it's mainly for convenience stores, but package stores could do it as well, depending on what products they are able to, because it's just for beer and wine. And what you're able to do is go through a drive-through, obtain the product. And, of course, you have to be 21 years of age or older to receive the product in your car or as a walk-up. And the number one issue there truly is safety and convenience, but also, protection for the employees, because there are some that are in not wonderful locations and they're able to provide chips and things through the window, but they're not able to do that beer. So this just clarified it. The ABC, they were on board with it. They had some issue with it, but I appreciate them working with us to get it done. And presently, it's up in the Senate now, waiting for hopeful passage.
Those are all, worthy endeavors. Let's move on here. Gambling seems to be the discussion of the day. I know there's a lot of other unfinished business making its way through the Alabama legislature, but those of us in the media, for whatever reason, are fixated on lotteries and casino gambling and the things associated with that. But you're a co-sponsor on a bill with our own Chip Brown, who represents Hollinger's Island down here, south part of Mobile County, to get what I think you described as a simple lottery through. Walk us through what y'all are hoping to do here.
Well, it was dropped earlier this week, and it hit the news very quickly, and I was one of the co-sponsors. There were three members that worked on it mainly. It was Chip Brown, Jeff Sorrells, and Rhett Marcus. And basically, I know that up in the Senate, they have a full comprehensive gaming bill that is working its way through. We continue to see polls and talk to people where people want the right to vote for a lottery. That's number one. And as the comprehensive gaming, I think I'm one of those, let's just put our toe or foot in the water. Let's get wet. Let's move forward, because we've got so many people that are going to the surrounding states, the contiguous states, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, and Mississippi. we should have it here and keep those funds here. So it was proposed, and I would think I was the fifth person signing on, or the fourth co-sponsor. And what it does, it sets up a lottery commission. It sets how things are paid out. For example, once you reach a limit of $250 million in a gaming commission account, anything above that will be used, where 7.5% goes to retired teachers. You've got $500,000 that goes to FFA and 4-H to be distributed through the state. There's also a percentage that will go to the community college. And then there will be a scholarship program set up where the people can get a scholarship, but we want to retain their talent, and they would end up having to stay in the state for 4 or 5 years for us to pay back on that loan for them. It's not like we give you the money up front, you do the scholarship, and then you can leave. We've done it a little bit differently, and actually that was proposed last year in a simple lottery bill that didn't make it through. And I can't remember who the originator was of it, but I think Bill Poole, who is now the finance director, had a lot to do with that.
So tell us what happens now. You get it, obviously, 3/5 threshold to get to a constitutional amendment to the ballot, but walk us through that a little bit.
Well, you know, first, it actually went to committee this morning, and it was passed out of committee with some technical amendments part of the bill. And basically it was to make sure that these amendments, just to talk about that for a moment, the amendments do not want to have anything to do with electronic bingo or bingo at all. This is a paper lottery, or it has nothing to do with comprehensive gaming or the Porch Band of Creek Indians. This is a straight, simple lottery. So those amendments were added. It was voted out of the House Committee, Tourism and Economic Development. It will go to the floor, and we shall see. We're going to be taking a break next week for spring break, but I think that it might come up next Tuesday or that Thursday, because after today, we only have 7 days left in our session. So if we want to try to move it forward, it's going to have to be put out for a vote for the House. And if we can get it through, it would go up to the Senate and go to their whatever committee. It would go up in the Senate, and then it would go to the floor of the Senate to be voted on. We shall see if they add any amendments or what happens, because if it was voted out with some amendments, it would either be sent down back for us to concur or have a conference committee between the House and the Senate. And then we shall see what happens from there. But that's kind of the process. And if it is approved, it would go to the governor for her signature. And we're hoping that she will go with us and sign it. And I do want to make one statement.
Yeah.
The purpose of this is, I continue to hear, and it's just all the time, people of Alabama want the right to vote. Whether you're for the lottery or not, whether you're for gaming or not, you have your right to vote. And it's, you know, again, this has been pushed down the line. There was actually a Representative Barry Ford out of, you know, eastern Alabama. He said, I've been working on this since 1999. This is how long that he's dealt with it. And he was very supportive of it, because he sees so many people go over to Georgia. But the bottom line is that it's allowing people to have the opportunity to vote on the lottery. And that's the bottom line.
Well, tell me what happens here, Representative. So my understanding, the apprehension, the pushback that you would get, if indeed the state of Alabama takes away the prohibition on gambling and we go from allowing games of chance in the form of a lottery, what does this mean for the Porch Creek Indians, who are governed by federal law? Do they get to have now, instead of bingo machines, electronic bingo, they can have electronic lottery machines, whatever that means, and that puts the Green Tracks and the Victory Lands at a competitive disadvantage? That's where maybe you'll lose some support for some Democrats?
That's potential, but we have gotten or tried to get a legal opinion. You know, we've asked LSA, you know, the folks up there are attorneys, and they give us a legal opinion. Presently, from what they say, and I'm going to defer to Anthony Latham, who is one of the smartest people I know, but he says the Porch Band of Creek Indians actually has the opportunity now to do what they want to. However, there are other attorneys that say, no, you don't. So as in many cases, it would could be taken to court if something did happen. And nothing against the Porch Band of Creek Indians, because I feel it, they're great citizens of our state. They do a lot for people throughout the whole state. You know, they run their businesses, and they do a good job. Apparently, they're very good at it. But, you know, getting that legal determination from LSA just shows that, you know, we can move forward with a lottery with, because whatever they wanted to do, they can move forward with it now. But it, I'm sure they want concurrence from the public. Now, that's opinion, which carries no weight with anyone, but that's my opinion. So people are under the misconception that they can't do anything, but the governor would want to do a compact with them in the future if there was comprehensive gambling. That's because that's the smart thing to do. And overall, Governor Ivey has done a great job. So we'll see what happens.
Now, on the comprehensive gambling issue, does go ahead and checking the box of the lottery and perhaps getting it on the ballot, does that change anything for what may be lie ahead for a compact and for any other, whatever direction you guys in the legislature decide you want to go with the casino gambling, sports book, all of that in the future?
From my understanding, the governor could do a compact with the Indians, but it would be for their present locations and not for outside of where they operate now. Don't take my word for, you know, for law, but again, you know, there are five different locations and I think two additional locations they're talking about putting the comprehensive gambling, and that would still have to be voted to allow it in the state. But on the reservation land, which the Porch Band of Creek owns, they can do what they want to. But outside of that, there would have to be a compact. And I think there would also have to be a constitutional amendment done to allow that. And because this is a constitutional amendment on the lottery, but that's all it is a paper lottery, or it's, you can say it's electronic because you can go into some of these stores and put your money in and hit some buttons and it prints out a paper ticket. So really, it's a paper lottery, 100%. There's nothing done online. You can't do anything on your phone. No pari-mutuel betting, you know, that type of thing. So overall, I think that the state would address a comprehensive gaming later, whether it's a year from now, 2 years from now. But again, you know, Senator Albritton's bill is in the Senate. If it gets down to the House, we'll see what happens. I do not think there's enough votes in the House to do the comprehensive gaming.
Yeah,
that's personal opinion. So
the difficulty there is this, right? You probably have enough Republicans, but you're always going to lose Republicans on any kind of gambling or gaming issue. Probably fewer on just a lottery than you would with an Albritton style bill. But that being said, you got to get to that 3/5, and that's where the difficulty lies, because we're changing the Constitution of Alabama. We're not just doing a simple up or down vote.
And you're exactly right. And I would say this. I think there are approximately 12 House Republicans out of 76 that would be against lottery gaming, no matter what. Now, if it was comprehensive gaming, I think you're going to have a few more against it. Then you have on the Democratic side, which I think they have 26 seats, 10 to 12 are for the lottery. The others are undecided or against it. So it's going to be a very close vote. And to get the vote for the constitutional amendment, you know, the 3/5, it will be close. But again, as you do a bill like this, you try to get an idea by going around and talking with people where they stand. That information that could always change their mind if presented in the right manner, where they say, oh, okay, I didn't understand that. So being clear and clarifying any issues that anybody has. And I tell you what, some of my closest friends down here, they're going to vote against the lottery or comprehensive gaming. And it is okay, because that's their conviction, and that's what they think their constituents truly want. I think in my district, it's 80% that wants a lottery. So I would like to have the opportunity for the people to vote.
Representative, you've been very kind with your time. I know you're busy today, but let's talk again soon.
That sounds great, Jeff, and you have a great day, and thank you for your time. Okay. Hey,
thank you. State Representative Gil Isbell Gadsden there with us. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Path to heaven, just pull a sinner.